Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Holy is He. Holy is He. Holy is He. Worthy is He. Holy is He. Moliente imbrogo setia, shombrogo tombestiti tiako togre di sitia. Holy, holy is the Lord. Indroboko kotiti shikia. Holy, holy is the Lord. Yeshua. Yeshua, Redeemer. Lord, we offer you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor forever and ever. We dedicate ourselves to you wholly and completely. We give ourselves to you. We yield to you. We yield to the mighty river, the Holy Spirit, in whatever way He likes to flow. You always know best, Lord. You always know best. God is raising up a kingdom in this day. He's trying to do something I would call the restoration of the church, or possibly the restoration of a remnant. Now, interestingly, He has given us fullness. Well, the Bible says, of His fullness have all ye received, and grace for grace. So it's not that He will give us more, it's that He will teach us how to access more. Like a treasure hidden in a vault that belongs to you, He wants to teach us how to access it, not just once, but freely, all the time, anytime, on demand. Can you believe that? It's actually scriptural. And so for this restoration of the church, restoration of the remnant, some things may need to change. Now, I'm preaching with my eyes shut, and I don't want to step on you, okay? I love you. And so what God's going to do is open our eyes. He showed me some things that He's trying to help us to see. And I am praying that we will so see it that we'll never be able to unsee it. Amen. That we'll so see it tonight and over these next couple days that it will become how we think. Yes. There'll be some new things we'll learn for the rest of our lives, right? For the rest of our lives, we will learn. You know, because we're ever growing up to the measure of the stature, right, of the fullness. We're forever growing in it. We're forever learning. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know, right? And sometimes thinking we know something hinders us from learning what we really need to know. So if you're a know-it-all, I love you, but take that thing and burn it. Because according to God, you don't know squat, and I don't either. You say, well, what about the stuff He told you? Well, I know a little tiny piece, but I'm aware that there's more. Because what if I thought, well, I know about that, right? Now I've stopped learning in that area. If I say, well, I understand grace because I have a rudimentary knowledge that He taught me. I learned it at His feet. But guess what? He's infinite. His knowledge and wisdom are infinite. And we have barely touched the smallest grain of sand of His knowledge. What if somebody wouldn't quit? Come on, what if somebody wouldn't just operate out of the anointing they already had? Come on. I wasn't going to share this, but I really feel like I'm supposed to. Years ago, a friend of mine wanted to go to a scientific seminar. I have to be honest, I can't think of anything more dull. You know, but it was my friend, they wanted to go. And so I agreed to go, and I was just flat bored by about the second hour of it. And it was great stuff. I mean, it was really great stuff. It's just not my thing. The guy was talking about what the creation scientists believe, and I'm sure for some people that would just be fascinating. Hallelujah. And I'm sitting there, you know, thinking of songs, and, you know, I'm a daydreamer. I'm long gone. And I said, Lord, teach me something. And suddenly I have this picture. Thanks. In this picture, the scientist is talking about how many creation scientists believe that in the beginning, right, at the time of the great flood, many scientists believe that the great earthquake rifted the continents and that the water that came up actually was under pressure from the center of the earth. And when the rift happened, it shot about 3 miles in the air and came down as rain, right? Now, they believe that was the flood, right? The great flood. Now they said, oh, here's something else. They had a little diagram. Now I'm going somewhere with this. But in the diagram, they said, there's a table of rock in the earth. Table of rock, table of water. Table of rock, table of water. Table of rock, and goes on until the center of the earth. Now, while this man is saying this, I hear that scripture as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? So think about this. The next thing I see is a picture. About four levels deep, you know, rock, water, rock, water, rock, water, rock, water, four levels. There's about, let's say, 19 or 20 levels. In about the fourth level, I see a man. He has an anointing. He's gifted. He's a leader of some sort. He, you know, back in the day, this is a long time ago, he was wearing wingtip shoes and a real nice suit. And he was floating on his back in this water. He was anointed, and he was accustomed to his anointing. And God said, I want you to press through, even if you have to leave the anointing you now have, and I want you to drill through rock and rock and rock and rock until you hit the fountains of the great deep, meaning some type of move of God that's beyond our understanding, right? What does it say in the last day? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as in the days of Noah. Right? What God taught me, he said, no matter how much I teach you, I like to sit at his feet and learn, and I love to do it all the time. I don't know when I was good at it. You know, I'm not always good at it. But I really try. I want to learn from him, because we're talking about, do you know that your best friend, whether you know it or not, the Holy Ghost is your best friend. Your best friend, your mentor, and your coach knows everything about everything. Oh, wait, he wrote the word. Wait, he invented your eyeball. That nerve that runs down your funny bone, he made it. So when you have an issue, why struggle with it in the flesh? You know what we do? We go into begging mode. Oh, God, please, please, please. Maybe if we beg enough. But isn't it better to say, Holy Ghost, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. What up? What's up? What's happening? Is there something you're trying to show me? Something I need to learn? Something I need to fix? And if you can develop that lifestyle, your mentor, what did Jesus say about him? He will lead and guide you into all truth. What did Jesus say to us as his disciples? He said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. It seems to me that God placed no limit on where we would go. It is only us that has placed limits. And so God is trying to raise up a people that have removed the limits and can actually believe what Jesus said. He who believes in me, the works I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Why? Because if I don't go to my Father, the Comforter can't come. So instead of me being with you, I'll be in you by way of the Holy Ghost, the perfect mentor. And so ignoring the Holy Spirit is like never reading your Bible or never going to church or never listening to a message. You're talking about someone that he doesn't just live in your house, he lives in your body. And what he is looking for is someone that is a willing student. And so what's required of a student? First, we have to know that we don't know. Pride stinks because pride tells you, I got that. I got it. No, you don't. You don't. You say, well, I raised the dead last week. Well, Rudy, toot, toot. Listen, God is infinite. Heaven is infinite. And there's so much we haven't begun to see. And so we have to change our attitude. We have to be the one that says, teach me. Nobody else wants to teach me. Nobody else wants to sit at your feet. Teach me. If I have to make myself low, I don't mind. I can do that. You know, one time God showed me doors. It was like a series of doors going into deeper and deeper places in heaven. You know, they get shorter and shorter and shorter. In other words, you have to go lower and lower to go further and further. And the minute you think you got it, you'll stop right there, just like the guy at level number 4. I got it. You know, I pray for people on Sunday. They get healed. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that's not good. That's good. But what I'm saying is, in this day, God is looking for a people. God has not placed a limit on you. Now, I remember one time hearing someone preach about the glory of God and healing the sick, and my head was nodding up and down saying, amen, hallelujah. But inside I was thinking, yeah, well, that's great for you. You're called and anointed, chosen and appointed. You got the anointing. What about the rest of us? My head was going up and down, amen, hallelujah, right? Dumb as a post. I'm telling you. I couldn't understand because I didn't know enough word yet. Do you ever feel like you're called to do something and you have no ability to do it? Guess what? That's the plan. That's the plan. If you have the ability to do it, you probably ain't called to do it. God doesn't need your flesh. He doesn't need your brilliant mind. Do you hear me?
Yes.
And there's people who are afraid to submit to the Holy Ghost because they're afraid to let go of the controls. They're still controlling things because they're afraid, what if I give control to God? What's going to happen? Will I get weird? You know? One man sought God for revival. He sought it day and night for some years. And the Spirit of God began to come on him in a way that made him look ridiculous. He was laying in bed, and the Spirit of the Lord came on his body, and he said he didn't know what to do with it. It was like he started to spaz out. Thankfully, he was in bed alone, you know, and his wife's next to him. And he's like, you know, because I'll tell you something, that sounds strange, but when the presence comes strong enough, sometimes one guy, Andrew Womack, was telling about a guy that got the jerks in church, and they thought the Holy Ghost was hitting him. He had a bug in his shirt. But when the Holy Ghost really comes in a powerful way, sometimes your body's not sure what to do with that. Now, don't act weird on purpose. Some people do that because they think it's spiritual. Don't do that. In fact, that harms things. Okay? You want to grow to the place where you're strong in the Spirit and still able to function very well. Right? Be coherent, manage a business conversation, sign the deal, shake hands, act normal, and still move in the Spirit. Okay? That's the ideal way. So this man, he's getting the attack of the Holy Ghost, tackled by the Holy Ghost, and he's like this, and he starts to think, now this is a pastor of a pretty big church. He said, what if this happens when I'm on the platform? What will they think? Right? Isn't that how we think? Oh, what will they think of me? Right? And after a couple of nights of this, he said, you know what, God? I've been begging you for revival. And I want souls and I want healings. And he said, if I have to look like a fool, so be it. And revival broke out. Amen. Broke out. All over his town. You see, because he wanted what God had. And he didn't act like a spaz on stage either. God was testing him. What was he testing him about? Is your pride intact? Is how you look more important than how I look? Uh-oh. Everybody say, uh-oh. Oh, dear. And so God is trying to raise up a people without the limits on their thinking. So we have to retrain the way we think And to do it, we have to see some things that you can really only see with the help of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to take care of some business. I bind and break every spirit that would blind the eyes, hinder the mind, block the ears, or seal the heart. Father, we thank you that you release, sir, you and only you can do it. We ask you to release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We ask that we will see what you're trying to help us see. And Lord, you're the only one that can do it. I will try to say as well as I can what you're saying. I pray that you'll give me the grace to say it right, in a way that will be able to pierce the heart in a permanent fashion. And so if I could get us to see something that we could never unsee, I believe this is the thing that God is trying to help his children get. And it was the plan from the beginning. Jesus operated in it. He taught his disciples how to do it. They operated in it. And then thereafter, the devil said, well, they were special. It was only for the apostles, right? That was the lie that came. That was never the case. That was not true. What happened was they hung out with him. He showed them how. He taught them how. And then they went and did it. And I believe it was because they saw and understood something that I believe has been lost to us. And it has to do with the real you that's on the inside. I believe that every person in here is born again. I don't think you'd probably be here if you weren't. When you were born again, let me try to give a picture of what really happened. Most people don't really know what happened. Because what they were taught is, say this prayer, you'll be forgiven of your sins, you get into heaven. Yay, that is great. But that's a fraction of what's really going on. You weren't just forgiven, you were recreated in the Spirit. And so if you and I look at each other, or you look at yourself in a mirror spiritually, on the inside of you, if you could see openly, you would see probably the outline of what you look like, except it's glowing. And in it contained is the holiness of God. You say, really? That can't be. Oh, yeah? I'll think about it. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. How could you possibly be the righteousness of God? The only way is you're born again spirit. Does your flesh stink? Absolutely. Does mine? Yep. Paul himself said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And so God is trying to get us to understand, not just with our head. Listen, sometimes your head is the enemy of what God wants to do in your life. You know, people give me, you know, all their thoughts. Listen, I love you, and I love study, and I do read the theologians because I don't want to get off. But I'm going to tell you something. You will not get this with your head. You have another mind. Did you know that you have two minds? What? Yeah. You have the mind of Christ. You say, well, I thought that was just my regular mind. No, it couldn't be. Because the mind of Christ can't have a wicked thought. Can't be tempted. So where's the mind of Christ? It's in the spirit man. And I want to say to you that the real you is that born-again spirit. That's the real you. And if you walk around doubting self and berating self and beating self up and apologizing over and over for something you did 42 years ago, for pity's sake, God doesn't know what you're talking about. You have been recreated in the image of Christ. Does your flesh still stink? Yeah. But what we've been trying to do is Christianity out of the flesh. It can't be done. That was never the plan. We have a treasure in an earthen vessel, dirt. A treasure in an earthen vessel. And so if you get a hold of this, not only for yourself, but if you see the body in this manner, you can look at a heroin addict who's saved, and you can say honestly, I believe in you. And no matter what you think, deep down you love Jesus more than anything. You may not be aware of it, but in your born-again spirit, if you're born again, you love him more than anything. You hear me? So what would it be like if we dealt with each other according to that? If we believed in each other according to the truth? and stop judging each other according to the flesh. Well, I don't like my teeth. I don't like my nose. I don't like the way she looked at me. Paul called it rubbish. Rubbish. Do you know that people base their entire life on rubbish? They base their entire life on being smarter than someone else, or having more degrees than someone else, or being more successful in the world's eyes, or having more money, a bigger house, a better looking wife, whatever. Faster car, louder car, whatever. Rubbish. It's all rubbish. We haven't even looked into the realm of God, where at the end, that's what he's going to be looking at. So let's imagine for a minute that we have, I don't want to use anybody here because I don't want to say a bad confession over it. Let's imagine we have a really old person here, like 110. They've lived their life, they've served God all their life. Made mistakes, probably blown it a few times, backslid a couple times, by no means perfect. But inside of them dwells this born-again spirit. The moment their body, their physical body, let's say they say, you know what, I think I'm done here, I'm moving on. Right? My grandpa used to say, they changed addresses. They decide to change addresses. They're going to go home to heaven. Their body drops dead. They are by no means changed in the spirit. Their born-again spirit steps right over. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It started when you were born again. And if you don't understand this, you don't tend to your spirit the way you need to tend to it. Your spirit needs, just like a plant needs food and water, your spirit needs food and water. Unless you, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Unless you abide in me, right? You have to abide. What does that mean? You have to drink. I was walking down the road one day and the Lord showed me this dead branch. It had been separated from the tree. Dead as a doornail, right? How long does it take a branch to die? Not too long. And he said, Holly, you want a lot of fruit in your life, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. He said, when a branch is attached to a tree, do you think it focuses on fruit? No. It focuses on drink, 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 drink. It abides in the vine, and the more you drink, the more you get. And by a byproduct is you'll produce all kinds of fruit. And so how does this work in the spirit? You know, I will tell you the truth. God has told me to do things and I knew for a fact I couldn't do them. You know, what are you talking about? I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. You know what? He wasn't looking for me to have any ability to do it. He was looking for me to learn how to allow him to do it through me by way of the Spirit. Can I say to you that the spirit that lives in you, the born-again spirit, has all the capabilities you need? Oh, wait a minute. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. We have been busy asking God to give us more. And I think if God could be confused, that would confuse him. What are you talking about? I gave it all to you. I died so you could have it all of it. It's all yours. Everything. But we are so limiting ourselves that we only take just this little bit because we're not worthy. That's just terrible doctrine. You say, well, I'm not worthy. Nope, I'm not either. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yet here I stand. Mm-hmm. I led my mom to the Lord. She had developed a terrible disease. She had grown up a split off of the Mormon church. A real worksy. And I'm trying to explain to her the healing power of God. And she said, I don't feel worthy. I said, you're not. I said, that's why you had to die, Mom. I'm not either. You never were. You never will be. But he has given you in your inner man his own perfection, his own holiness, wait, his own power, his own compassion, his own love. People say, oh, I want the gifts of the Spirit. Where are they? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it's according to our faith. And so when we are so busy looking in the natural at our natural failures, and listen, that's just a trap of the enemy. He's trying to keep you bound for years, stuck, because, oh, you're not good enough. Well, toots, you never were. I never was. I've never been good enough to do this stuff. But if you learn the methods of God, you can do anything. Anything? Yeah, anything. You can be successful in business. Very successful with money. You say, oh, I've always been bad with money. You don't have to be. The Holy Ghost is a genius. He can give you methods. He'll take care of all that stuff. Not a big deal. Not hard for him. Money is one of the easiest things in the kingdom. Truly. People that are all caught up in it are caught up in the flesh. If you're limiting yourself, you're looking at your flesh. Stop it. Stop it. Because what you're doing is you're seeing your own inability. Well, of course you have inability. And your problem is you actually think your flesh was supposed to be able to do something. The reason Paul could do all those things is he got it. He said, my flesh dwells. No, good thing. None. Not one. Nope. Not a thing. He said, the works that I do, Christ in me does them. He understood that there was someone living on the inside that had all the power of heaven. Come on, think about it. He got it. So did Peter. Peter, you know, Edgar loved Peter because, you know, after Peter and John, remember after the healing at the Gate Beautiful, after that happened, first they started to think Peter and John were something special. He said, what are you looking at us for? As though we had some special power. He said, it's his name through faith in his name that made this man whole. That was confusing to them. But here's what it says. It says that they saw that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men. They'd been with Jesus, but they were ignorant and unlearned. They hadn't studied. They weren't well schooled. They weren't theologians. They weren't priests. And yet, they were able to do this thing because there was one thing they knew, and they didn't know it by head knowledge. They knew it by revelation knowledge. Peter said, the guy's begging alms, right? He looks at them as though he's going to receive something. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, he grabs his hand, rise and walk, jerks him up. The guy gets up leaping and walking and praising God. The whole town knows about it. Who is this guy, Peter? Who is he? Well, he's just a fisherman. He doesn't know anything. He never studied. But wait, he hung out with Jesus. So how did he get that revelation? How did he get the revelation to raise Dorcas from the dead? Come on, fisherman. So God was showing me some things today. That if we want to understand this concept better, if you can get this concept, I pray you can get it. Not in your head. You know, some people want to take notes. Listen, I love you, but you need to get this in your guts. Some things will help you when it's a revelation in your heart. Not so much head knowledge. Now, let's think about Jesus for a minute. He's born a baby, right? Mary's had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, right? She's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, becomes pregnant, right? She's going to have this baby. And you know what the scripture says? Sacrifices you didn't desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This body, he knew, would eventually be the sacrifice, right? A body you've prepared me. Now think about Jesus, Yeshua, Son of the Most High, Messiah of Israel. Listen, the great I am. Was Jesus born that day? No, he forever was. Before time began, he am. Okay? After time ends, he still am. The great I am, majesty on high, all powerful God of the universe, says, a body they prepared for me, a body you prepared for me. This amazing, majestic, glorious, creative king, who can create universes with the power of one sentence, chooses to lay aside his reputation and go live in this little baby body. He called that body the Son of Man, because it was. But if, as he grew, think about it now, 20, 25 years old, 28 years old, 29 years old, in that mortal body was the King of Heaven. Can you see it? Can you imagine if you could see in the spirit. Listen, Satan sees in the spirit. I'll tell you something interesting. Most people didn't have a clue who Jesus was. The priests didn't even get who he was. They knew not the day of their visitation. Right? Yet Jesus shows up, and every demon that sees him, they hit their knees. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Don't cast me out before the time. Right? Because instantly they see. What do they see? The Most High in a human body. Look at yourself in the mirror. The other mirror. Can you see it yet? In you has been placed the power of heaven. God is trying to get the church to understand. See, we say we want more. We mean we want more. Our heart is right. We love Jesus. We want to glorify him. We want to serve him. We want to do great things. But we haven't found the way. And so we've said, oh God, anoint me. I want to operate in your gifts. And I said it too. You know, and God was merciful. Merciful. But what he showed me is, if you're born again, you are a heavenly being in a mortal body. Can you kind of see it? I'm hoping so. Your spirit man is what connects to the Father. So we've been trying to connect to the Father in the flesh and get him to do stuff, and we've said, well, now I love fasting and prayer, don't get me wrong, but I'll do this, maybe that'll move God, right? But what God is saying is, I've already died for you to have it, and when you can see it, if the Holy Spirit, let me ask you this question, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, where is the gift of healing? It's in you. Where's the gift of working in miracles? It's in you. Where's the gift of business? Oh, it's in you. Where's all knowledge? It's in you. Okay, or at least we might say access to it. We have the mind of Christ. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. How about this scripture? Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. So here's the problem. We've tried to connect to God in a carnal way. It doesn't work very well. And then what we did is we said, well, maybe he's mad at me. Maybe it's because I didn't do this right. Or maybe, I didn't spend enough time in the Word. Or I didn't pray enough. God is a little confused by that speech. What he did, he did. He gave. He already gave. He died for it. Were you worthy to be saved? No. Were you worthy to be forgiven? No. Were you worthy to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you received it? No. No. Not in your flesh. So let's try this way. God, the Bible says, is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. How do you do that? It's because that person, can I say the real you? The real you isn't the one you see in the mirror every morning. It isn't the one that you pull on pants or throw on a shirt or go have dinner. That's just the house. That's the Son of Man. That's your vessel, your human body. It's the carrier of heaven itself. I hope I'm stretching you. Your physical body is a vessel to carry the real you. And your problem often is that you've measured yourself, and we've compared ourselves among ourselves, but according to the flesh. And so you've judged yourselves not worthy or worthy, and let's say you're used of God. Then you think, oh, I must have done something right. What did I do right? Let's say you have a dearth of being used of God. Oh, it must not have been as good. And see, it's not like what we think is that means God's got this checklist, right? You know, the clipboard. Oh, they were good today. I can use them. Oh, they were bad today. Oh, can't use them today. Come on, the eternal God doesn't think that way. I gave you eternal life. I gave you a brand new spirit man, which, by the way, has the right to walk around in heaven, learn the things of God, has access to all these things. You don't believe me? All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. God's. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you, past tense. Wait, everything that pertains to life and godliness. What could you possibly have in your life that doesn't pertain to life and godliness that needs to be dealt with? But he's already provided that, past tense. So living in you, we might say, is the real you, which is a package of heaven. And our problem is we haven't learned how to unpack. Our problem is not that we need to beg God. Our problem is we need to understand what's going on the inside. But even more than that, here's where I think we've missed it. We have to learn the methods of how to access. How do we access the spirit realm? How do we access the real you? How do we understand what the Holy Spirit is saying? Do you know that everything that I do, you can do? I'll go you one better. Did you know that what Jesus did, you can do? He who believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He made it simple, but we have so complicated it. Well, he didn't really mean me. Or he meant someday when I get this all right. I hate to break it to you, but you may never get it right. If you wait for that, you might never fulfill your calling. And so we've judged ourselves. We've been the great judge that knows nothing. Right? You couldn't, if you searched the world over, you couldn't find a person with less ability to do what I do than me. If you said, I am just going to go find just the one that absolutely can't speak in public, can't look somebody in the eye, couldn't speak in front of people, can't sing, can't play, is scared of everybody, you would have ended up at my house. We have to learn how. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. They can't be carnally understood. They can't be understood by the intellect. They don't make sense. They don't. They don't make sense. Now, I don't know why I'm going to share this, but I feel like God wants me to share it. Some of you know that Edgar Bailey was my husband. He was 33 years older than me. No one in their right mind marries a guy that's 33 years older. Okay? That you just don't. I'm 39, he's 72, and he's calling me Holly B. I'm thinking, no. But God had a plan. Do you know that to make that plan come to pass, God had to literally take my spirit out of my body, take me back in time, and show me some things in the spirit. And I came out of that going, oh, I'm supposed to marry Edgar Bailey. It couldn't be carnally understood, could it? What about Abraham and Isaac taking Isaac up the hill to sacrifice him? Does that make any sense? Absolutely not. What was God doing? He's speaking by the Spirit things that don't make sense to our mind because he's saying, do you trust me more than you trust you? Whenever you say something like this, it doesn't really make sense, but I feel God is telling me to do that. And people say, well, that can't be God because A, B, C, and they give you their outline. I just love the outline. And all you can say, you know, you look like a fool. Hallelujah. You say, you know, I don't really get it. I just know. No, it doesn't make sense, but this is what I think God's telling me to do. You know what you're saying? I've put him first. I could be wrong, but I trust him more than I trust myself because I've learned that he is smarter than I am. He knows more than I do, and he even has better intentions for me than I have. He has a better plan for me than I have. I'm not smart enough to figure this out, but he is. And if I will trust him and stop trying to manage everything, control it and fix it and make it work. Listen, if you don't let go of that thing, you're going to be miserable. There's no one more miserable than a manager controller. I'm going to fix this. No, you're not. And God loves us. Thank you, Jesus. He loves us. He's very patient. Say, okay, hallelujah. I'll wait a little while. You ready yet? No, okay. How about now? Nope. What he's doing is he's waiting for us to get it. And you know what usually happens? Well, I should say at least with me. I was learning this, and what would happen is things would begin to fail. Did you ever have things begin to fail? It's because you're using the wrong system. And when things fail enough, finally we look up and go, okay, what's the problem? You are. And at some point, we make him God. There's no one more miserable than someone who has themselves as God. There's no more miserable form of idolatry than self. We are, I want to say, we suck at being God. We are not fit to run things. We are not smart enough to run things, and I'll tell you why. We can't see the future. And we don't know what's in the heart of man. Somebody can come up and they just seem so great. You don't know. You don't know. God does, but you don't. You sign them up and then you find out later. You know, people are not always what they seem. God knows these things and he says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you go, well, I just feel. I just think. Stop thinking. There's people that have made an idol of their own emotions. I have there's a beloved saint of God, brilliant, brilliant saint, really sold out to Jesus, was having a lot of trouble. And God had me very gently, just as gently as I could, say, I think you need to put that on the altar, a certain situation, you need to put that on the altar. And my friend said, you know, I don't want to disrespect you, but you don't know what it's like. Okay. I said, okay, if you're not ready, okay, I'll back off. About 8 months goes by, and what has happened? It's worse, right? Because what happens when you have an idol, even if it's yourself, even if it's your own thinking, what happens? Failure. Because nothing works when there's idolatry. You say, well, what's an idol? Anything that comes before him. Any idea? Any plan? You say, but I got this great plan. Well, that's cool, but is it God's? And so when we learn how to be dedicated, wholly dedicated means we live for him. Wholly dedicated means we are not to be shared. A vessel that is consecrated unto the Lord isn't to be used for other stuff, right? What does the Bible say? You cannot share the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, right? And there were cups or vessels in the temple that were for one purpose. Can I say to you, I believe that you're of those that are consecrated unto the Lord. You don't have the right to go and use your vessel for things that are unholy. I love you, but you don't. Sometimes we justify things, don't we? Well, it's not so bad, it's just this little thing. But you're missing the point. Listen, God doesn't tell you not to sin because he's mad at you. He tells you not to sin because he loves you. And he wants you to walk in the utmost blessing. And I will tell you, it's so easy to walk in the utmost blessing. It is actually easy to have the blessings of God chase you down the street everywhere you go if you will take care to get rid of anything that comes before him. That's the truth. If you will inspect yourself and ask God to inspect you. Ask him to inspect you. Confront me, God. Confront me if I have something that is in the way of the blessing. Confront me if I have something that is not right before you. Get in my face. Don't let me continue in that thing. And what I found is, I did that because I loved him. But a lifestyle of it causes you to walk in more and greater and more and greater and more and greater. And people think, you know, you take somebody like, I don't know, we'll make somebody up, Smith Wigglesworth or Lester Summerall or somebody that was mightily used of God, and we say, oh, wow, God has anointed them. Why? Come on, why? God didn't just wake up and say, oh, I like that guy, I'm just going to anoint him. No. They dedicated and consecrated and said, I'm not doing anything else. Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't allow a newspaper in his house. Only the word. He was consecrated unto the word of the Lord. And we might say he became a living manifestation of the Word of God in the area of healing and miracles. Was he perfect? Nope. But he understood. See, Jesus was the Word made flesh, but you understand it's his desire for that to still happen. You understand it is his desire for the Word to still be made flesh and manifest among people. God wants to make his glory known. God would like it. It would be very dear to him. If we could be converted, now I know you say, well, I'm born again. But there's, you know what, there's ever increasing dedication to God. There's saying the sinner's prayer because you don't want to go to hell. Amen. At some point, there's a dedication to the Lordship of Christ. That is usually not the same thing. There are people who've been born again. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you about me. And I think all of us. There's people who said the sinner's prayer and meant it, and they do love God, but have not made Jesus Lord of all. And they'll never be able to walk in the same stuff. God wants them to. I said he wants them to. His desire is for them to walk in the fullness, all the blessing. Yes, the glory of God, yes. He wants us to walk in the presence, the manifest presence of the King all the time. Till that's normal. He wants all his kids to do that. He didn't give some things to one and some things to another. Yes, he does, depending on their life. I'll tell you, I did a pretty strong study of Edgar Bailey, and I'll tell you something. He wasn't born again anointed. He became anointed because he sought God with a fervency that said, you and nothing else. A fervency like I have never seen. And that fervency for God and nothing else. We have God in this and God in that and God in the other. And we've justified. And you know why? Because that's normal for the church. You say, this is, you know, they used to call this clothesline preaching because it was so straight in there. But you came because you're hungry. Some of you came because you said, God, I'll do anything. Some of you didn't say that yet, but you will. Some of you have said, I'll do anything, God, if I could be used of you. I'll do anything if I could do something for you. I don't have any ability, but God, I would do anything. Listen, God never forgets that prayer. But what he does is he says, okay, how about this? I love you, but you need to change a little bit. You need to leave some things behind and come further in. Because listen, you can go into the Holy of Holies. The Bible calls us in. But when you go there, listen, we need to learn how. And part of how is there's some things you can't drag with you. There's some things you can't drag into the Holy of Holies. Or you just go in all a mess and say, oh, help me, Jesus, and he'll free you anyway. But our heart has to become dedicated to the Most High. God is trying to raise up a people that can do everything Jesus did. Now we will all manifest differently. I just lost somebody, so we just got tired. Come back. God is trying to raise up a people who say it's worth it. See, part of the reason the church hasn't said it's worth it is they haven't understood what it is. If you ever see the manifested fire, I can't imagine anybody not saying, I will do anything, change anything, get rid of anything, dump any idol, dump any human plan I ever had. I'll give everything I've got for that. And not because we'll be seen of men or be so great, blah, blah, blah. Somewhere in our life, I started to tell you, you go from born again to the Lordship of Christ to dedication or sanctification. But eventually something that should happen to all of us is there's a heart conversion where we begin to say what's in it for him. What will bring the glory to God? What will make his name great, not mine? Now, in my case, it did not happen all at once. It's still happening, but it's It's when you pray for it. God, change my heart. God, I stink. Change my motives. Help me to seek your glory and not my own. You pray into this. And what happens is something changes on the inside. God is trying to raise up a people who are in it for his glory. And I will tell you something. When you're in it for his glory, there is nothing that he won't use you to do. Because when he finally knows he has somebody that will never take the credit, somebody will never act like it was their ability or think it was their ability. If you still think you're smart, I love you, but you're not usable yet. If you still think you know more, if you still think your plan is better, you say, boy, this is kind of hard preaching, but you know what? There's something glorious about coming to the end of self and saying, you know what? This world stinks. There's nothing here that's that great. You know, Lori had a business, and she had it all. She had like, I don't know, 11 homes, 12 homes. She had lots of money. She had all the toys, you know, very successful. And she was like, this is it? Really, this is it? My dad was a brilliant man. He worked his way up to the president of his company. A big deal, made a lot of money. At the age of 53, he quit, bought a farm, divorced my mom, moved away. I love my dad, but you know what he was saying? It wasn't all that fun. All this success, it did not fulfill. He got everything he set out to get, but it didn't fulfill him. You know why? Because it's not the plan of God. And I don't want to wait till I'm 75 years old and say, oh, I just wasted my life getting this great goal, but that's not the purpose of God. So God's trying to do something in you. And I'm praying you have dreams tonight that show you in the Spirit. I'm praying that somehow God reveal to you the real you. You've been looking, some of you have been looking at the you with all the failings. You with all the faults. You with all the, oh, I messed up. Or, oh, I'm pretty good at that. Some of you looking at your successes. Doo-da, I'm smart, doo-da. That person thought I was smart, doo-da. Oh, I'm so dumb, I messed that up, wah, wah, wah. All rubbish. Because you know what? None of that is the real you. The real you is the born-again you. And can I say to you, until that is developed, until you've learned the way to operate in that identity, how to communicate. How do you communicate with the Holy Spirit? Where is he? On the inside. How do you communicate with the Father and the Spirit? By your spirit man, not by your head. That's why praying in tongues is important. You're exercising your spirit. It's like spiritual push-ups. First you can do like 3 minutes. Feels like an hour. Eventually you can do 3 hours, feels like 5 minutes. Just like the gym. If you stay away from it for a year, you're going to start all over. Like an hour. But what are you doing? It's the one thing you can do that exercises your spiritual muscles. It makes you strong in the spirit, and it sensitizes you to the things of heaven. Sometimes people hear well, and people say, ooh, a prophet. Well, they might be. But they may have developed the pathway to the spirit realm. I have a friend that used to tell me, I just can't hear from God. I'm just not that way. I just never did. And just wait. Here's as good as anybody I know now. And I actually could name you a number of people that came in, and because they were smart or they had a lot of thoughts, they think. They couldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God is doing something. Some of you are burning. Somebody's heart is burning right now. You're burning because you're like, this is the truth. You know what God told me about the church? He said, the church wants this. They just don't know. Some of them don't really know in their intellect that it exists. But when they hear it, they're going to say, that's it. That's the thing I wanted. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't know how to say it, but there it is. And God is saying to you, it's free. It's free because I already died for it, bought it, paid for it, and handed it to you. The minute your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have been given legal access. But a lot of people have either not known it's there or not known how to access it. And because of that, have stayed out and done Christianity as a work of the flesh. Feeling like they're failing, always trying, never quite able to do it. Right? God still loves you. God doesn't love you less if you don't know, or more if you do. Listen, His love for you is unconditional. He doesn't love for you more if you get it, but you'll be more blessed if you get it. He doesn't love you less if you don't get it. He'll love you all the days of your life. You're His. He doesn't love you because of what you did. He loves you because you're His kid. That'll never change. You can't change. It's not changeable. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. His love for you is not variable. It's not changeable. You say, even if I screw up, yep. But He doesn't want you to screw up because He wants you to walk in certain things. He wants you to have it all. He wants you to walk in the glory of God. He wants you to walk as the apostles walked. And people will make the mistake. They'll say, oh, you're somebody great. Yep. Nope. Just the Holy Ghost walking around in a human flesh. Okay? So God is going to take us into some areas, I think, this weekend, because I really believe He wants us to not just say, amen, I kind of get that. He wants us, listen, I remember understanding somehow in my 20s. I saw the fire. I saw the glory of God in action. I saw it. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. And the person that was carrying the fire and the glory said this. They said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And I remember saying, I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to spend my whole life learning that. That was probably 40 years ago. You know what? I know two things. There's a high road to success. It's called the walk of the Spirit. And I'm still learning. And will learn for the rest of my life. Because it's the one thing that works. It works in every area. For every need. For everything. But it has to do with submitting your opinion to His. Putting your agenda on the back burner and getting His. Learning how to sit at His feet. You don't sit at somebody's feet unless you respect them. You don't sit at somebody's feet unless you respect them. The Holy Spirit is worthy of all our respect. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls Him Spirit of Jesus, and it calls Him the Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of God in Jesus is how He did what He did. I can prove it to you, but I'm not going to do it right now because I feel like you're getting a little tired. So now I'm not asking you to do this immediately, because I think it's a lifetime process. But I believe there's some people in here that you're thinking, I'm tired of living life the way I've been living it. I'm tired of trying to make it work and it's not working. I'm tired of not understanding. I want this. I want the walk of the Spirit. I want to understand the things of the Spirit. I want to learn from the Holy Spirit. And that's what's called setting your course. I didn't know anything that day, but I set my course, and I've never wanted anything else. See, because God wants to show you the glory and the fire of God, and He wants to show it to you so you can see it. He wants to make you jealous for it. So much that you say, I'll do anything. I'll pay any price. I'll die on any cross. I'll do anything. Because that's the only thing that matters. All this is rubbish, trash, junk. All this junk I've been trying to do. You know why we want to be used of God? So people will think well of us. Or so we can feel like we have God's stamp of approval. Honey, you already have God's stamp of approval. And you can't earn it. You know when you got it? When you were born again. Is that little baby still in this room? Yeah. Do you think that little baby had to do anything to earn their love? You think that baby could do anything to stop them loving Him? You think God's any different? You are so precious to Him. And he wants to teach you how to live a life that, can I say, is bulletproof. Does it mean the devil won't shoot? No, you saw some fun shooting tonight. A speaker wasn't working. The cords weren't working. I think Pro Presenter wasn't working. And Ryan and Rachel figured out another way. Because they're brilliant. They just kept figuring something else out. Praise the Lord. Did it stop God from showing up? No. Thank you very much. Nothing can stop him. So God wants to take the real you, and he wants to show you the real you. And to a degree that you begin to walk out of that and yearn for that. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.